Good evening. I was kind of, Brother Brown cornered me last Tuesday night, and told me, "You're going to preach?" And I said, "Yes, I will." But then when I got here this morning and heard Lauren's sermon, went up to Lauren after church. I said, "Were you at my house last night over the week?" Because the same thing that he taught on this morning, it was on my heart to teach this evening. So I tell you, the Holy Ghost speaks to us in mysterious ways, because you're going to get another dose of faith this evening. And I'm not intending to be long. So if you turn your Bibles right now to Luke 17, we'll get started and we can get finished and you can be on your way. Brother Thacker, a long time ago, told us, even when I was just a young pup, when I first got married, he always stressed in our classes that we had to have something ready. So I still remember that. And Brother Huey P. Hervey in Kansas City used to say the same thing. So I grew up with a lot of good, strong Christian men who told me to always have something in your pocket. You never know. So here I am. All right, let's start reading here at verse 6. This is Luke 17, starting with verse 6. And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." Now let's go back and see why Jesus said this to his apostles. And if you go back and start at verse 1, there were some problems going on, and Jesus had to go and rebuke his brothers and tell them that there was something going on here. They couldn't do it. They couldn't take care of the problem. Jesus had to take care of them. That's why he said that if you have some problems of repenting or whatever, do it 7 times 7. But the apostles, he told them to increase their faith. That's kind of a hard saying, Jesus saying to his apostles, increase your faith. And these are the guys who've been following him and seeing his miracles, and he still told them to increase their faith. So why is he telling this to us? Because when he talks, in your Bible, it's a red color here. When Jesus is talking to his apostles, he's also talking to us. He wants us to increase our faith. What does this mean when we increase our faith? The mustard seed is the smallest seed there is. Now I'm going to take this pen out of my pocket. And I want you to, I know y'all can't see this, but can y'all see the tip end of this pen? It's hard to see, right? A mustard seed would fit on there and still have room. That's how small. Jesus told them if they had the faith of that little small mustard seed, they could make a tree move. What is Jesus telling his apostles? It's not the size of your faith that he was talking about. He said a small amount would do it. That's why he did it as a seed, because you got to remember, back in these days, most of the people were either fishermen, they did cattle, or they raised crops. They raised crops, and a mustard seed was something they raised. And as I went back over the history of the mustard seed, they used it as a garnish or a herb. And so it was a spice that they used to spice their food. Like we use today, we take mustard and put it on our hamburgers and hot dogs. We go to parties or a cookout. Same thing that what they did. So they knew what a mustard seed was. So Jesus used common things. He didn't really go way out and tell everybody something spectacular. He said, "I'm going to show them with this little speck of a mustard seed what I'm trying to get forth to y'all." Is what Jesus said, a speck is all you need of faith, and I will work with that. When you plant that mustard seed, it grows on an average to 9 to 20 foot. It becomes a tree. Birds land on it, people cut it down, they harvest it. Can you imagine something as small as a speck growing a 9 foot tall? And that's a small mustard seed plant. Some of them get up to 20 to 30 feet. So what Jesus is telling them, all you need is this small little speck of faith, and we can work with that. So Jesus kept on telling the disciples this. He kept telling them, you got to increase your faith. And what is faith? What is this faith that he's talking about here? He's talking about the belief in him and his Father. That's all faith is. As our faith grows, as our belief grows, so does our faith. How can you have faith in something that you don't believe in? And how can you believe in something that you don't have faith in? I have faith that I'm going to take this next breath and air is going to be there. God promised me that air is going to be there. When I take my next breath, if it's not there, what's going to happen to me? I don't go around every time I take a breath, wow, that's a good one. Oh, that was a better one. I don't do that. We just breathe normally. We don't really check behind ourselves to breathe. We believe that that next breath is going to be there. And I have faith that it's going to be there. Same thing, like the apostles had to have that faith. Because they seen Jesus do all these miracles. They seen him work, bring people back from the dead, heal people, do all these different things. And he's still telling them to increase their faith. It's kind of a hard thing when you're an apostle and the guy who's your master telling you that you got to get more and more faith. And all he's telling them is that you got to believe in me. You got to do more and more. You have to believe in me. Let's turn over to Matthew 17. Starting at verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I have brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverted nation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked that devil. Why couldn't his apostles do it? Because he had empowered them to be able to do these things. Why couldn't they do it? Because they didn't have enough faith. That's why he called them a faithless and perverted nation, because they didn't have enough faith. Even though they watched Jesus do it, his apostles, they couldn't do it. And there was no reason why they couldn't do it. The only reason, because they didn't have enough belief in Jesus. When Jesus gave them the power, they didn't believe that they could do it. All they had to do was believe on the man who gave them the power, and they could have healed them. Now, they went on down the line after Jesus died, and they ran off and came back. They developed great faith. When Jesus came back and talked to them and he left, they developed great faith. They went on and started the church, and here we are today. But back then, they had little faith, like some of us do. Some of us, we got to remember that this faith that we have to keep building our faith. We just can't let it stay that little grain of mustard seed. Because if we do, our belief systems are not going to grow. How many of us believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? We do that because when we first get baptized, that's that mustard seed faith. We believe that, and that's why we get baptized. We hear the word, and we believe it. And I say, man, that's so good. I want to be a member of that church. So it pricks in our heart. We become a member, and then we sit dormant. Anybody know what a dormant seed does? Nothing. It sits there. 30, 40, 50 years, it sits there. But if it's in good ground, it multiplies. It becomes that mustard seed, and it grows 9 to 30 feet. We have some 30-foot Christians, and we have some 10-foot Christians. Does God care if you're a 30-foot Christian or a 9-foot Christian? He just wants you to grow. He don't want you to stay a seed. So that's where the faith comes in. If you don't have the faith to study the Scriptures, to obey the Scriptures, and to believe what Jesus said, then how can you be a Christian? How can you call yourself a Christian? And I'm not talking to us. I know we're all good Christians here. It is impossible for our faith to grow without us reading the Bible. We know the Scriptures about the lepers. If we go back, I'm sorry, I skipped around here. Let's go back to Luke 17. And this is kind of a scary thing that somebody outside of the Jewish people of the day were the so-called God's people. And then when Jesus came on the scene and when he died, everything changed up. Everybody has the right to the tree of life now, just not the Jews. But we read here in verse 12 of chapter 17, and Jesus here is walking, and he says, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, that were still afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And when they came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to glorify God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Go, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's not be like that. I read the scripture this morning, but let's not be like those 9. What were their faith? And these were Jesus' people. It took a stranger, somebody who was a Samaritan that Jews didn't have anything to do with. Now you got 9 Jews with a Samaritan. They'll tell you there was some problems there. The only reason why they were together is because they were lepers. Now if they wasn't lepers, you'd been caught with a Samaritan, you were no longer with the Jewish people anymore. They did not want to have anything to do with them. So here it took this man, he had more faith than they did, to come back and glorify God. The other 9 ran off to the priest. Let's be like him. Let's grow in our faith. He grew in a short amount of time more than these people who had been reading the scriptures for years. The Jewish people read the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. Here, this man was a Samaritan. So let's not be like him. I mean like them. Let's be like him. I'm not going to keep you lying. And that's what you call genuine faith. There's different types of faith, but he was a genuine person, and he worshiped God. He came back all the way back and took care of the problem that he had. He wanted to make sure that Jesus was thanked for what he did for him. And sometimes we take Jesus for granted, and we don't thank him enough because the stuff that he does for us that we don't even know that he does for us. A lot of us wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Jesus. I know none of us would be here today if it wasn't for Jesus. Let's put it that way. I got one more scripture I'm going to run to, and then I'm going to close. Let's run over to Matthew's, and I'll show you another great man of faith who wasn't a Christian, who wasn't a Jew, but he was just a man who knew how to get things done. Matthew's 8, we'll start with verse 5. And y'all know where I'm going, right? Y'all know who this guy is. With all the news of all the generals and stuff that's been going on the news here lately, here we have a centurion who knows how to command people. Now, was he born that way? He was a enlisted man at one time, and he worked his way up the ranks by obeying orders and doing what they told him to do. Now he finds himself over man, and so he came to Jesus in verse 5. He said, and when Jesus was entering into the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. But listen to what the centurion said. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I will say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to the another one, Come, and he cometh, and to the servants, Do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so much faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and thou have believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. Now here you got a centurion who had enough faith to tell Jesus, You don't even have to come to my house. I know you got the power. I got enough belief in you that all you got to do is speak the word. How many of us would say, Come on, Jesus, you go into my house. I want you to lay hands on my son or my servant. How many of us would have had enough faith or belief? And he didn't even know Jesus. He just heard about Jesus and said, I'm going to go talk to him. So he had a lot of, he had a lot more faith than some of the apostles had. And that's hard to believe, that somebody who walked with Jesus all this time and hear this centurion said, I know what power is. I can tell my men to do this and that, and they'll do it. All you got to do is speak the word, Jesus. And I know my, and his servant was healed that same hour that he spoke. Let's be more like that centurion. I'm not saying lead a church and be like him. I'm saying we need to have faith like him. We need to have a belief in Jesus like him, because all faith is believing that Jesus is who he say he is, and knowing in your heart that he's who he say he is, and that you're going to believe it, and that what brings forth faith, greater faith. In closing, now we know more about the mustard seed than we probably care to know about. And I don't want you to go home and buy mustard seeds either and look at them. But I just want you to realize that Jesus is not telling us that we need this spectacular faith. We always think that we have to do something big in the Church of Christ. God wants you to have to start out with that mustard seed faith and then grow your belief in him. If you believe that he is the Son of the living God, start right there. Read your Bible. Understand what's going on. If you don't understand what's going on, find someone to help you who is in the church. There's plenty of brothers and sisters here that will help you. Study your word. We have plenty of Bible classes that go on here. So it's no reason why we can't grow in our faith. The only reason you don't grow is because you don't want to. There's other scriptures about Jesus saying you'd be able to move a mountain if you had to mount. Think about it. Mustard seed faith, you can move a mountain. It's one thing to move a tree, but anybody ever go to Mount Rushmore, or anybody go in West Virginia and see the mountains there, and with a mustard seed faith, you can move one of those mountains. It's probably not going to happen if I go there and with all my might, I believe I'm going to move that mountain. It's not going to happen. But what Jesus is telling us, and what I believe Jesus is telling us, he's going to move that mountain out of my way. The mountains that come up in my life. When I have a problem, my belief system is on Jesus, those mountains are going to disappear and move out of the way. I might have to walk up a hill, but who's going to be beside me, carrying me? Yeah, I might have to run down on the other side, but who's going to be carrying me down that hill? Jesus, that's what he wants us to do. It's not physically moving the mountain. He wants us to be able to believe in him so much that we don't worry about the mountain. The mountain's going to come in our lives. There's going to be problems. He's the only answer to our problem. That's what he's telling us. All we got to have is that seed of faith in him and grow it, and he's going to take care of the problems for us. So that's my closing. Like I said, I'm not going to be here long. And I believe, like I said the last time, if you're a member of the church and if you end up going to hell, that's something you had to work on. You had to really work to go to hell, because my belief only, and I believe the scriptures will back me up, God has given us so much stuff. He gave us redemption. He gave us reconciliation. He gave us his son. He gave us grace and mercy. He gave us all these things that if we sin, we can go to the advocate, and his son would go plead our case for him. Even though his son died for us, he would plead our case. So even if we just have a mustard seed faith, just remember, we have somebody on our side. So if you want to go to hell, you do whatever you want to. But I'm telling you, it's going to be hard for Christians to go to hell, because especially if you keep trying to do what God tells you to do. Keep on the path. Let God take care of those mountains for you, and have your mustard seed faith and let it grow. There won't be no problem. God's going to take care of his people. Now, this evening, you heard the word. There's one way to become a Christian, but there's five different steps, but one way. First, you got to hear the word, what you heard tonight. Then you have to believe it. Like I said, mustard seed faith is all about believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Then you have to repent. You have to turn away from what you were doing and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to come on Jesus' side. And then you have to repent. Repent of the sweetest name on earth, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And then you have to be baptized. Now, we have here guys this evening here that will baptize you. And they will take you to the water. First of all, what's going to happen when you come up, all your sins are going to be left in that water. You will be a new creature in God's eyesight. He will send you to the Holy, he will send the Holy Spirit to endow you with, I wouldn't say great power, but he's going to empower you with powers to be able to fight off the devil. If you listen to those powers, the devil won't be able to touch you because Jesus is going to be on your side. Jesus already defeated Satan once. He can defeat him again. It's no problem. Jesus is the greatest. God is the greatest. So all we got to do is listen to him. And then he's going to add you to his church where all of us here will be on your side. So if you have any prayer requests or if you have any repentance of sins, please come down and as we sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are...